Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Put a spring in your step and fresh looks in your home, in-store or online at harrycurry.com.
But I want to move on for a moment now and go to Phyllis. Phyllis, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Phyllis, you got in touch with us about your brother, your older brother, Andrew.
I did, yeah. Yeah.
Just explain what you were trying to sort out for him and what that actually uncovered.
Okay, so in November 2023, early November, my brother Andrew had a heart attack. He ended up in James's hospital and ended up having a quadruple bypass. It was quite severe. But in the meantime, before that, we could never get into the house.
Sorry, Phyllis, to interrupt you. Just explain to people, Andrew, who's the oldest in your family, he was actually living in the family home on his own at this stage.
Right. Yeah, he was living in the family home on his own after my mother passed away 14 years ago.
Okay.
So he was there on his own. And then within the last couple of years, he just, he wouldn't let us into the house. He'd make arrangements to meet us at coffee shops, or he'd take stuff off us at the front door and stuff like that. But unaware to us, we didn't realise that there was anything amiss until he had the heart attack. And we actually got into the house when he was taken into hospital and seeing the condition that it was in with the hoarding, and the house was just totally neglected. So we didn't realise this until he'd actually had the heart attack.
So you never knew that there was, that Andrew had developed this really serious hoarding problem?
No, not to the extent. We knew he was a movie buff and he liked his DVDs and stuff like that, but to the extent of the hoarding was nearly floor to ceiling, and we weren't aware of that.
Yeah, weren't aware. Oh, will you hang on, Phyllis, one second? I think I can. Have I got Andrew on the line there? Andrew?
Yeah, hi, Katie. How are you?
Hi, Andrew. Maybe can you just tell us, Andrew, what happened? What was going on with you that kicked this problem into such a serious situation?
I'll tell you what actually happened. I couldn't get over the death of my mother in 2011.
Right.
And after that, I couldn't handle it. So I let the house go to wrecking room because I couldn't handle it. I just couldn't, because I didn't know I was suffering with the depression. And when I heard about that, the pandemic came along. And when the pandemic came along, I couldn't go outside the door. So you had to walk up and down your back garden or whatever. Especially when you're on your own, loneliness hits you like a bullet. You know what I mean? So it kept on going, and it built up and it built up and it built up. And then I started going to these courses, adult education courses in the library in Ballyfermot, where I live, and tried to forget about it. Tried to block it out. And then I started building up, and then I had a massive heart attack. And they said that it was tons of fluids on your lungs. So only for my sister, Josephine, came down and got the ambulance for me straight away. And when the paramedics came along, they were brilliant. Yeah. They just kept saying to me, hold on till we get out there. Just hold on. So when I got out there to James's, the surgeon took over, and I'm really grateful to her. But she just said, you'll feel a soft scratch, and that was it. And I don't remember the operation.
Yeah, I know, Andrew, you're a very lucky man that we're still able to talk to you today, and we're delighted to have you. But just to say, at that stage, by the time you had that heart attack, you were reduced to just living in one room in your house. Is that right?
Down below, yeah.
Everything else was full.
Downstairs and upstairs, I couldn't look after upstairs. Okay. But it's just that when you watch it, Katie, I'm going to go through something with you. But when you get a phone call to go to the hospital about your mother, and you go in and they're all around in there, the whole family, grandchildren and all, it's not nice to watch your own mother dying. I couldn't handle it. I just walked out And I walked around the hospital, James's hospital, and I came back. And when I came back in, she died. But that's when I said, I couldn't get into it. When she died, then I went in and said my last goodbyes, and that was it. But after that, when you're on your own then, I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Andrew, will you hang on? I want to bring Phyllis back in. She's hanging on the line. Andrew, thanks for that sense of... Phyllis, that's where it all went wrong for Andrew then. But just give us a sense of exactly... Because I think when people talk about hoarding, they kind of think of what they might do in there. But when it gets really to a really serious level, like what did you find when you went to the house, when Andrew had that heart attack?
Well, what we found, Katie, was floor to ceiling DVDs and stuff, paperwork, bags of stuff that would have been just bought and probably wasn't even taken out of the bags. He just left them there. The hallway was all full of clutter. The paramedics had to step over the clutter. We were trying to clear that out to let them get into him because the hallway is quite narrow. And then upstairs, nobody had been upstairs. So when we did go upstairs and seen the amount of clutter up there, it was just unreal. It was just bag on top of bag on top of bag. And, you know, even when we were clearing it out, my sisters and I, you know, it just felt like we were filling all these bags and it was like someone else was throwing in more clutter because the more bags we filled, the more we had to fill. So it was quite devastating to see this, and it was quite upsetting to realise that Andrew had been living in this way and that we weren't aware of it. And that's when we decided that he couldn't go back and live in the house. There was too much work to be done to it. He had never maintained it, so there was no maintenance on it, and there was too much work to be done for him to go back. There was damp and there was mould, and it was just unhealthy for him. So we then proceeded
to be clear, Phyllis, you're in no way blaming Andrew for letting the place go into that state. I mean, he obviously was suffering with some serious
he told us that afterwards. Yeah, he said it. We didn't realise, but he said it to us afterwards that if it wasn't the case, these things happen. You know, we just said to him, like, you should have asked for help. A lot of the times, he didn't listen to us when we'd say to him, you need to go to the doctor, you don't sound well, or stuff like that. He keeps saying, oh, I'm fine, and everything was fine, and that seemed to be his answer to everything. I'm fine, and everything is no problem. So it went on, and until this heart attack happened, Katie, that's when it all, that's when all this came to light. And no, by no stretch of the imagination is it his fault. It's and nobody blames him. It's just unfortunate circumstances that we didn't know sooner, that he couldn't tell us, and that he was in this depression. I don't think he said himself to us that he didn't realise himself that he was in it. He was just going along. He didn't realise.
Am I right in saying, Phyllis, that it's a recognised syndrome, particularly for older people?
Yes. Well, actually, my sister spoke to her GP about it, and he got something up on the computer. He knew straight away. He called it Diogenes syndrome, which is apparently is what I do. I don't know a lot about it, but the bit that I do know about it is that it can be triggered from a traumatic experience, like the death of my mother. Mm-hmm. And that the person can just go like that. They just hoard everything. They just don't care. They just don't, they just can't get themselves kind of out of this situation. So it builds up and it builds up. But at the same time, the person might not even realise, as all the hoarding is going on, they don't realise. I mean, Andrew had two bedrooms upstairs full of stuff. But he wasn't using upstairs, so he was downstairs because he couldn't manage the stairs anyway. Mm-hmm. So he was downstairs. So he obviously was just throwing the stuff up into rooms, and then that was it. Then he didn't have to see it. So he didn't even realise the extent of of what was upstairs.
Yeah, and he told us that himself. We should say that we're not saying that, that Andrew has been diagnosed with that syndrome, but you're kind of searching around to see what this might be, because I think a lot of us, and I often joke about my own tendency to hoard things. Like I find it hard I find it hard to throw things out or to part with things. And I can find a reason for hanging on to pretty much everything, but obviously there is that. And that can be problematic. But when it kicks into the level that we're talking about, that's another level entirely. Like, is there a warning? Like, what kind of warning signs would you suggest to people to look out for? Because, you know, this isn't a very rare thing, actually. It does happen.
It does happen. And you know, since this has happened to Andrew, I've heard so many people say, you know, this has happened and, you know, people have been found, you know, dead in their homes because they wouldn't let people in and all the hoarding and whatever. But it is a serious thing. And I would say to watch out for, Katie, is saying that they're fine all the time and not letting you into the house, making arrangements to meet you somewhere else. Or another thing was, if you were going to drop anything down, Andrew would be at the gate. Oh, I'll take it off you at the garden gate. And you just hand it to him and he'd go back in.
Yeah,
you know, and they at the time we didn't realise, but they are looking back now. Hindsight is a wonderful thing. Looking back now, they were red flags as to why is he not letting us in. We were thinking, you know, he's just watching, you know, watching his movies, because nobody could disturb him when he was watching his movies. And we were thinking, oh, that's it. He just wants to get back to the television. You know, we didn't.
You didn't realise there was something deeper going on.
Phyllis,
can I ask you to hold that thought and hang on for me? I need to take a break, but I want to talk about what you're trying to sort out for Andrew now and the brick wall you're after hitting. We'll just take that last break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And I was talking to Phyllis about her brother Andrew, and Andrew as well indeed, about discovering only when he became unwell that he had developed a massive hoarding problem, which basically ended up filling up the entire family home as floor to ceiling, as Phyllis said. And Phyllis, you when you realised this was the situation, you decided that Andrew, as you say, couldn't come home and you needed to find another arrangement for him. But then you ran into more problems.
We did indeed. We decided there was a lot of damage to the hoarding with the mould and damp, so we had to clear the whole place out. And were advised actually to get on to Dublin City Council and apply for the financial contribution scheme, which involves either the council will buy your house and you give them 40% of the sale and they would put Andrew into an apartment for senior citizens, which he would pay rent on the apartment as well, obviously. So we put the forms in and thought everything was going great. He was offered an apartment. They said they were going to send an inspector out to the property and have a look, and then it was all systems go. So we thought this is great. We told Andrew, you know, he was excited. We said, you don't have to worry about maintaining the home anymore now, upstairs and downstairs. You'll have your little apartment and, you know, you'll be fine. And you'll be with people, you know, senior citizens in your area, able to do your courses, go to your classes, and because he is quite sociable, and you'd be able to get your life back. So he was delighted. Oh, this is great.
And it is a great scheme, it should be said. The idea is that you sell the house to the council. They take 30% of that and put it towards more a new social housing arrangement
An apartment.
So you have an apartment. And your old house then is available to other social tenants.
Crisis that's on. Yeah, and it is a win-win when it works, when it goes to plan. So when the inspector came out, Katie, the council decided that they weren't going to buy the property, that there was would cost too much to refurbish it. So fair enough. They said you know, there was woodworm in the roof and all that. So we got all that done. Few things that they said, and we got it done. And they said, no, definitely no, they wouldn't. They wouldn't be buying it. So we said, okay. They then went on to say that Andrew was not their responsibility, so it wasn't up to them to do anything.
Because it's a private house. He's not in social housing right now.
No, because he's not in social housing, so he's a property owner. But mm-hmm. he's a property owner through no fault of his own. He didn't go out and get a mortgage, do you know what I mean? The house was left to him from my mother, because he was the only one living there, and she was worried. She didn't want him to end up homeless or anything like that. So that's why it was done like that. But everything that we went for then, it seemed to be that he was getting penalised because he was a property owner. They wouldn't listen to us about anything. So we did suggest then that we sell the house ourselves, and we give them the 30% financial contribution, mm-hmm. and they would give Andy the apartment. Now, bear in mind, Katie, this apartment was ready. It was vacant. Mm-hmm. It was ready to go. And they told us no. But in the meantime, before they told us no, they had us filling in, you know, all these different forms that we were sending back, and all about his medical. We got running around getting doctor's letters and letters from the cardiologist, everything. And then they still came back with no, and told us that that scheme had finished in Dublin City County Council in 2018.
Oh, it's totally gone, that scheme now, is it?
She said that scheme is gone. Not the financial contribution is not. Only the part where you sell the house privately give them the contribution. She said that's gone. But it's not gone in South Dublin County Council. It still applies there. So I went back to them with that and asked, why is it feasible for somebody in South Dublin County Council that they can go, like a man in the same situation as Andrew, could go sell his house privately and get the apartment, but a man in Dublin City County Council jurisdiction can't do that mm-hmm. because it doesn't apply there. So they told me that there's different rules for different councils. I thought it was all the one body, but seemingly it's not. That there's different rules for different councils. They are different jurisdictions, and that's just the way it is.
So you're stuck now.
So we're stuck now. Andrew's in the care home. He's gone mad to get his life back. They won't. They just keep refusing. I just can't understand why they're refusing to let us sell the property and take the contribution that way.
And is Andrew? Sorry, Phyllis, to cut across you.
No,
but
go ahead.
Is Andrew getting help now for the issues that landed him in the situation? You know, with the hoarding.
Well, no, he's not, because he hasn't got any help in the hospital or the care home. We have registered him now with a loan, so a loan are on board, and they're trying to help. And they are trying to help with the house, maybe getting the house back to some sort of, you know, livable.
And I'm sure, because a loan, they're a fantastic charity. I'm sure they have come across this before.
They have, and they did tell us, but what they did tell us was they cannot do anything with the council. They have no pull in anything to do with housing. They will be just more or less that Andrew is safe, that he's protected, you know, that he can apply for grants. They will help with all of that, which is brilliant.
And I suppose the main thing is that he doesn't all start to get all over again as well, is the other issue that you'd need to...
Well, that's it, yeah. So I think now, Katie, we're all aware mm-hmm. of it, that we would be keeping more of an eye on him. And he's aware. He knows that we know now. It's like, I think he's kind of relieved that we all know. He doesn't have to hide anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think in that respect, yeah, I think he's feeling a bit better about himself too. And really, yeah, really, I just would like to know is why can we not just sell the house and let him have the little apartment and give the contribution?
It just, yeah, it does, it's just, it makes so much sense. It's just so frustrating that
the
computer says no, though, Phyllis, the computer says no.
And that's what we're getting, yeah. And it is very frustrating and it's very upsetting. And I mean, we have to have a meeting now with the care home. The family have to have a meeting with the care home and Andrew. And I'm sure they're going to say, we don't know what to do. We don't know, where can he go? You know? Well, Phyllis, from here, we don't know.
Phyllis, thank you so much. And Andrew, thank you so much. You know, you're very brave to tell that very personal story, and you've told it very well. And I really hope that something gets sorted, that something is worked out, because there is a, you know, there's a house there. There's an asset there. And, you know, Andrew just needs a roof over his head.
Exactly, Katie. And if there's anybody, you know, out there who've gone through this, maybe even themselves, if they have any advice for us, or, you know, or if there's anybody, I hope that someone will get something out of this that
Absolutely.
They know
Absolutely.
What to look for.
Absolutely. Phyllis, I'm going to have to go. Thank you so much. And thank you, Andrew.